send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I guess we've got to start talking now. It's Baseball Central for Friday, August 26th. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker. Panic stations, everybody. Jays are never going to win another game. 6-3 losers to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim last night. A death blow to their playoff chances, clearly, based on the reaction on Twitter. I think the Jays, they just might as well not bother playing the rest of the season. They're tied for first. Boston. So, I don't know. If you told me that the Jays would be tied for first on August 25th, I'd tell you the season is a mess. It's awful. Things are so bad, I may start watching the CFL. Not really. 6-3 for the Angels over the Blue Jays. Kevin, tell me what concerned you about that particular game. J-Hap, by the way, 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs. 6 Ks, a walk. He's now 17-4. Clearly no longer in the Cy Young discussion, according to one person on Twitter.
Clearly.
Because he never pitches into the 8th inning. God, it was a tire fire last night. I should just stay off Twitter, shouldn't I? See, you're smart. You don't have a Twitter account. People keep asking me why Barker doesn't have a Twitter account. I say, because Barker's too smart, and he makes way too much money.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he just doesn't need it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyhow, so what did you see last night? What did you see last night? Jose Bautista returns, couple of RBI. That's good. That's good. Out of the leadoff spot. You like that?
I'm going to say this now. Right. I don't think it matters where these guys hit. I really don't.
Okay.
I think we can stop talking about if Bautista needs to hit cleanup or there's 8 other guys in the order that need to do better than they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Jared Weaver, when I was watching that game, threw breaking balls in the 60-mile-an-hour range, like 68, 67, 66, threw changeups at 70. He's 6'7".
He throws.
He threw a fastball. He was grunting, throwing fastballs at 83 miles an hour.
He throws. Hey, he throws. They could not hit a guy who throws 80 poo miles an hour.
Okay, they obviously
that 80 poo. Get it?
Obviously, that's a good one.
Yeah.
They're having trouble hitting that, and then they have trouble with that 95 plus with the hard slider. So anything between that, they got a chance.
So they got a chance as long as they don't face somebody who throws hard or somebody who throws soft.
Yeah. Hey. You know what's funny?
They stink right now.
They're not good.
Their approach
1-9 is not good. You see swings of Luis Rivera got more high fives and smiles and waves with big swings and head fly and swinging from the hip. And hey, you just like, you ever watch that Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs Bunny strike one, Bugs Bunny strike two? So that's the slower that guy would throw it, the harder Bugs Bunny would swing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember that one.
I don't either, but I made that up. That's what it looks like. It looks like the harder they
Travis
think they
is worried.
Swing.
Travis is seriously worried about how today's show is going. Look at him.
I just, you know, with track records, 1-9 in this lineup, minus a couple of guys, and they keep rolling out the same approach over and over and over and over again. It doesn't show up when you see guys that throw 95 because you think, okay, you can swing as hard as you want. You can have as much head fly as you want. You can, you know, your bat be dragging as much as it can. And then you face a guy that's 6'7 that throws 80 and you see like balls off the end of the bat and you see, you know, you hear people saying, well, Jared Weaver had a good approach. He threw good yesterday. They must not have been watching the same game I was.
Jared Weaver doesn't have a good approach.
I saw a lot of 82 miles an hour right down the middle with 77-mile-an-hour breaking balls right down the middle. It's basically, you can forget about J-Hap and the rotation and Brett Cecil should never pitch again. Well, how about 1 through 9 having a better approach, putting, you know, walking to the plate and having a clue what you need to do? There's reasons why third time through the lineup, teams are almost hitting .500 against Weaver. Because basically the first time through, they're going, I've never seen a guy throw at 6-7 throw 80 miles an hour. So you get over the shock of that. And then the next time through, you're trying to shorten up, go the other way. And then the third time through, you're just fighting for the bat racks, basically what's going on there. I mean, I hate to be that way, but Weaver used to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. He's not anymore. And to have the approaches that we saw last night, 1 through 9 this order, I'm sorry. That sometimes you just don't have anything else to say about something, Jeff, until it's just, you say wasting rotations that are as good as the Blue Jays. You say a bullpen that's really, really good. For the most part, their defense is really good. And it gets down to, again, I say this with – I picked this team to go to the World Series. So I'm really big fan of this team. But the approaches they roll out on an everyday basis at the plate, buddy.
And Kevin, the other thing, we're not talking about a young team here. We're talking about a bunch of old guys. Let me finish, because I know you don't like when I call them old guys.
What's an excuse?
Oh, it's not an excuse.
It is.
No. All I'm saying is you've got a bunch of you've got a bunch of old guys. It's not like a young team that should be figuring its way out.
Well, it's like they a fine wine. The longer you have that wine, the better it tastes, right? Well, they should the hitter should be the same way. The older you get, the smarter you are. You should be able to set people up a little bit better. You should understand what a guy's trying to do to you. You should have a better approach, right? The older you get, the wiser you are. I get it. The bats may be a little bit slower, but the approaches should be a little bit better than what we're seeing. This team is really good.
Meanwhile, both Baltimore and Boston lost. We should mention that. So the Jays, Jays are tied.
Again, they're in first place.
Yeah.
But
please, we do need to mention every now and then that the Jays are in first place. And I understand people are saying, you know, boy, it's opportunity missed because you're not winning when other teams are losing. But, you know, that's a way it works out. No team's going to go 162.
Well, Albert Pujols and Mike Trout are pretty good.
They are. But still, did you have any issue with Jay Happ's performance? Did you see anything, red flags? Or anything?
I saw,
mean, he got, it looked to me like he got baseballed. He had a lot of balls just past guys, a lot of balls under guys' gloves.
Yeah, I guess. I think it's when you go out and you try and make a perfect pitch all the time because your offense is not scoring any runs. It's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for a starting pitcher to go out and be perfect all the time. I did see a Jay Happ, which I've never seen before, go from the third inning to the fifth inning, never throw a breaking ball.
I was going to ask all you about
fastballs.
That. All fastballs.
I've never seen that before. When have you ever seen a guy go basically in and out, up and down with a fastball and throw one pitch for 3 innings?
I mean, I like it when a guy
can do it.
Well, I absolutely love
basically
it.
Basically, what they're saying is you can't hit it. I'm not going to throw you anything else. Yeah. I've never seen that. So, yeah, I just it's hard for me to come on here and go, I have a problem with a guy that's 17-4 now and they have to be perfect. Basically, every night they go out because the approaches on the offensive side are not any good.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We do need to talk about Brett Cecil. Oh. I like that reaction.
Oh. Yeah, well,
look, this team is. We talked last year about how, and I think we both agree last year that Brett Cecil could have been a difference maker in that Kansas City series if he was.
They probably would have won the World Series, Jeff.
I would have no problem. I would have no problem saying that.
They were that good going into that.
Yes, they were that good. And Brett Cecil, and Brett, most importantly, Brett Cecil was that good.
Yep.
I mean, Brett Cecil right now, he's not even capable of being a lefty specialist right now. Like, I don't
know.
What
do you mean by right now? I mean, it's been all year this way. It's not 2015 anymore. I know everybody says, well, 2015, he was so good. He did this. Well, it's 2016.
Yep.
It gets to the time where you just stop using a guy. Because basically I know what John Gibbons is thinking. We're going to just try and give him a lot of confidence putting him against left-handers, but you can't throw strikes with one pitch. He wants to get you out of the breaking ball, but you have to throw a strike with a fastball.
Yep.
And you start overthrowing. That's what he did last night. He was overthrowing, trying to throw it by people because he's left-handed facing a left-hander. Well, at this level, this time of the year, guys are zoned up. They understand the strike zone. They're not going to go outside the strike zone. That's basically what it comes down to. And when you're coming out of a bullpen and you don't throw strikes, I'll ask you this. When does John Gibbons just stop using him? Because there's going to be a time, right?
Well, I don't think he can, because I don't think he's got any other options right now. And we've said, and I've said, and other people have said, I still think this organization has to add another pitcher, and I know time's wasting, but I think they have to bring another relief pitcher in. I think they have to bring a left-hander in. Aaron Loop, I'm sorry, I don't trust Aaron Loop any more than I trust Brett Cecil, maybe even less. And, it's the problem I have right now with this team is, first of all, it's in first place. There's no problem with that.
No.
But it's a team that has easily identifiable things that present themselves as strategic issues. They don't have an impact left-handed bat. They're way too right-hand heavy. They don't have a lefty in the bullpen they can trust. And when you get down, and I'm looking at a team that finishes the year with Yankees, Baltimore, and then they go to Boston.
Yeah.
I think it's Yankees, but certainly Baltimore, and then they go to Boston.
That's what it is. Yankees, Baltimore, Boston. But they're at home for the Yankees. Baltimore.
Those are glaring tactical weaknesses. Those are things John Gibbons can't manage around the fact he doesn't have a lefty in the bullpen. He can't manage around the fact that his team is too right-handed.
Yeah.
And that concerns me, because those to me are things that present themselves at weaknesses at crucial times.
Yeah, so how do you get Chris Davis out and how do you get David Ortiz out? That's basically what you're asking, right? When it comes right down to it in the seventh inning,
at some point,
and you want to bring that guy in to face those two guys, how do you do it?
At some point, I am going to want to play the matchup game. And I can't bring Roberto Osuna in to face David Ortiz in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And Jason Grilly, a lot of confidence in him. Joaquin Benoit, some confidence in him. But I need that other arm in the bullpen. I really do. And I don't know if... Yeah, I don't know if you take Francisco Liriano and put him in the bullpen. That wouldn't seem to make sense. If Francisco Liriano's figured something out as a starter, right? I want to ride him as a starter. So I think my concern is that the Jays have got themselves into a little bit of a situation here. And I'm really surprised that it hasn't been addressed by this point. And I really hope we've got, 5 days left before the postseason, the acquisition period. I really hope that they can go out and add another left-hander. And I'm going to say this, too. I covered a series in Boston between the Yankees and the Red Sox leading up to the postseason. It was the last series of the year. The Red Sox went out and acquired Mike Stanton, and it was like August 29th. I'm sorry, September 29th. They basically traded for him for one series. They wanted him to come out of the bullpen against the Yankees. So you can do that. I mean, he wasn't eligible for the postseason roster. But man, they've got to address those two issues. They really do. Especially the pitching. I can figure my way out around the lineup. Maybe Ezekiel Carrera gives me a little bit and Michael Saunders is a left-handed bat. I can maybe figure my way out around that, but I need another lefty in the bullpen.
Come to the realization this team is a starting pitching, some bullpen, and a lot of defensive team, and hopefully they get a timely hit. Can we say that?
Yeah. Although it's odd.
They've been doing it all year this way.
Yep.
This is the reason why they're in first place. For us to think all of a sudden with 30-some games left that this offense is going to go out and have a, 10 or 12 games in a row where they're scoring 8, 10 runs, it's just not going to happen. So, back to your point, for them to add what they need to outpitch people and play a lot of defense, yeah, I'm with you. That's what they're going to have. Well, basically what this comes down to is if they can make the playoffs, doing it this way, when you get in the playoffs, what do you not do a lot of? Score a lot of runs.
Nathan on Twitter, Cecil's given up 3 walks to left-handed batters all season. Lefties are hitting 100 post-All-Star game off Brett Cecil. Not where he was last year, but not horrible. But my point is, I don't think the manager and I don't think his teammates have faith in him. And I just think you need an upgrade there. I really do. Yeah. I think you need an upgrade there big time.
Here would be the question. If you're John Gibbons, and like we said, seventh inning rolls around, you're facing the Red Sox, are you warming up Brett Cecil for David Ortiz? Whether those numbers are true or not, yeah. Which they are, obviously, are you still – there's a confidence factor here. Mm-hmm. When a game's on the line and you're willing to go to a guy that's going to, you know, absolutely get after somebody, is Brett Cecil going to be the guy? I'm going to say no.
And the
about
other
confidence.
The other aspect of Brett Cecil, of course, too, is as several people have pointed out, Brett Cecil ideally is a guy that does more than just get lefties out for you, which he did last year.
That's because he has a really good breaking ball.
Yeah,
that's the reason why the breaking ball eliminates both sides of the plate. He doesn't have that now. Not all the time. You got to command other pitches for that to be better, and he doesn't consistently do that.
Like I said, it's a strategic issue for John Gibbons, especially since it looks like this race is going to be like this the rest of the year. It's going to be somebody's leading by one game, somebody's leading by a game and a half. And if that keeps up and you go down to that final week.
Puts a lot of pressure on your rotation, doesn't it?
It does.
Every pitch matters. That's why having the inning hat pad in the sixth inning yesterday, how do you come in here and pick on that? You can't. Like, they're just every pitch means so much because all of these games are so close because the approaches at the plate, let's basically say it, mm-hmm. are not any good. That puts so much pressure on guys that you sometimes you just can't live up to that.
And this gets Brett Cecil in high leverage situations this year, has given up a .385 opponent's batting average. So that's not good. When you're talking about a guy you want to you want to have.
Hey, we're not picking on Brett Cecil. We're just
you want to give a responsible role.
We're stating facts on when your team's all about pitching now and defense. You're going to need guys to fill those spots. Yep. That's what it's all about, right?
Yep. Jonah Carey is going to join us in a few minutes. Let's get you set for the weekend. The Minnesota Twins are in town for a 3-game series, which, like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, should be a gimme, even though it didn't turn out to be that way. Pat Dean, left-hander on the mound for the Twins tonight against Francisco Liriano. Saturday, Irvin Santana against Marcus Stroman. Sunday, R.A. Dickey against Kyle Gibson. Gibson, a right-hander. And so you've got two right-handers and a lefty going for Minnesota. Kevin, after you have a series like that series the Jays had against Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and you've got another team coming in that's, you know, look, that's scuffling. Minnesota's not a very good team.
They have the second worst record in baseball behind the Braves, right?
Right.
So, yeah, they're not any good.
They're not any good. What do you need to see from the Jays today in their approach? You know, we've talked about, we talked in the first part of the show about how you didn't like their approach.
Yeah.
I don't think guys are going to change overnight, but tell me some things they can do. Okay, instead of we're sitting here, their approach sucks, they stink right now, what can they do? What can they do? Because these guys, again, these guys are what they are. They're, you know, Josh Donaldson's not going to become a different player. Jose Bautista's not going to become a different player.
Hey, I've seen Josh Donaldson shorten up, not have as high of a mm-hmm. leg kick, not take as big of a swing with two strikes and hit a lot of line drive base hits to right. He's a pretty good player last time I checked.
Yeah.
Why can't everybody else do that? Why can't that be a one thing that Brooke Jacoby and Eric Owen sit down and go, hey, guys, listen, we see guys throwing 81 miles an hour that are right-handed. You can't go up and take huge swings. It's just not going to work out. You're going to pop up the ball a lot. Let's go through first time in the lineup, see how a guy wants to pitch you. The second time through, let's feed off of that, go up and have a better approach, do whatever it takes to a man, and help this team win games. That's what I want to see. I want to see smarter appearances at the plate, however that is, because it's different for every guy. Every guy brings something different. But every guy can go up and have better approaches, right? They can be smarter at the plate. They can look for certain locations. They can look for certain pitches.
A perfect example last night was Melvin Upton Jr.
Yeah.
Who was the one guy, what was he? He had two hits? He was 3-for-4 last night. Perfect example.
Bautista, is another example. Struck out his first at bat and then had the sack fly the second at bat because he went up understanding that a guy doesn't throw very hard at all. He's 6'7". We're going to have to let that ball travel. I used to face guys, John Halama used to just absolutely take me behind the woodshed. He was left-handed through 80 because I'd go up and just take the biggest swings off of him until I finally said I'm going to try and get jammed, let that ball travel, get further on the plate closer to the catcher and try and hit it out of the catcher's mitt. And then I started having a little bit more success. I didn't get as many hits, but I started hitting balls harder.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, they need to do that. They need to figure guy 2015, they would do that. That separated them from everybody else was, this is how this guy wants to throw us first time through. Second time through, you're in trouble. You're not anymore.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to watch that sometimes. That's all. Smarter. Be smarter. Because talent, you see talent. The names, you can say whatever you want about their age. Between the years, man, this team, 1 through 6,
mm-hmm.
been around a long time.
Jonah Carey is going to join us at 12:35. Let's take a look around Major League Baseball. A bunch of stuff happened yesterday. The Dodgers made a deal. Carlos Ruiz going from the Phillies for A.J. Ellis, a right-handed pitcher named Tommy Bergjans, and a player to be named later, or Cash. Carlos Ruiz, of course, longtime Phillies catcher. He's a guy who caught Roy Halladay's mm-hmm. game in the postseason. Hitting 261 with 3 home runs, 12 RBI in 48 games this year.
That's surprising to you?
No, I mean, the Phillies are rebuilding. I'm happy for Carlos Ruiz because he's considered to be one of the game's really real good dudes. And it's a great pickup, I think, for the Dodgers. You've got another catcher who's been through it, you know.
Yeah, I played with him catcher. Too. I think the Dodgers now are trying to fix a little bit of that clubhouse. Mm-hmm. He's a good person.
Yeah, I mean, AJ Ellis was a great person too. But I think the thing with Ruiz is you've got a little bit of that postseason pedigree.
The better hitter too helps.
Better hitter.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who knows what it takes to get through.
The Ellis personal catcher. That to me is a little bit surprising. He's won some Cy Youngs. He's won an MVP with Ellis behind the plate. That may be something you don't want to rock the boat on.
The Giants. Good night for the Giants. A rare good night for the Giants lately. Matt Moore losing a no-hitter in the 9th inning against the Dodgers. San Francisco hanging on for 4-0 win. Corey Seager breaking it up with two out in the bottom of the 9th. A clean hit. That's a nice
ad for the Giants having Moore. I mentioned that to you before we came on the radio, that he's a left-handed hard thrower that knows how to pitch.
Well, and the thing with the Giants, one of the reasons the Giants went out and got Matt Moore is because you want to throw as many lefties as you can at the Dodgers. They're susceptible to that.
Yep.
And Moore did the job for them last night. That race is going to go down to the end, but this was kind of interesting. I didn't realize this. The Giants have had a no-hitter. They've had a pitcher throw a no-hitter 4 consecutive seasons. So he was attempting to extend their streak of a no-hitter for a 5th straight season. Matt Cain in 2012, Tim Lincecum in 2013, 2014, Chris Heston 2015, all through no-hitters. No major league team has ever had a pitcher throw a no-hitter in 5 consecutive seasons, and only the Giants and Dodgers have had no-hitters thrown in 4 consecutive seasons. All the Dodgers no-hitters, by the way, were thrown by Sandy Koufax. So there you go. It was a terrific night for Matt Moore, and that's why the Giants got him. That could end up being a very big start for the Giants, because those are the types of things that have a tendency of, I'm not a big believer in momentum. Momentum's only as good as your next day starting pitcher. But those are the type of things that tend to right the ship very quickly. The Dodgers right now, 2 games up on the Giants. Giants a game and a half up in the wild card race in the National League. And
winning's a lot more fun than losing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you can thank Max Scherzer and the Washington Nationals And you can thank the Tampa Bay Rays and Jake Odorizzi for the fact that the Jays are still have a share.
You talk about a lot of fun to watch is Max Scherzer when he is locked in, as fired up as he gets, and as he can't wait to get the ball back from the catcher. It's something that is, you know. I normally don't like to watch pitchers throw because
you're a hitter.
Well, yeah, and they used to try and take a lot of money from me,
mm-hmm.
but. It's when you see a guy like that that just can't wait to throw a bunch of strikes and get you out. That's a lot of fun to watch. He's a lot of fun.
He is,
and I don't say that a lot, but
he's just
a number one
when he's
what he is
when he's on. The movement he gets on a pitch is just scary to watch.
And then he adds that different element to it of don't dig in. You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's throws it with a lot of conviction, and
You mentioned, by the way, Clayton Kershaw. I want to talk about this because Clayton Kershaw was really, really broken up, quite frankly, after A.J. Ellis was traded to the Phillies. Dylan Hernandez has a terrific piece. The L.A. Times has a terrific piece on it. And, you know, Kershaw started to cry. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, A.J. Ellis is and Kershaw have been really close. And that's the thing that, as you said, that's the thing that makes that deal interesting. It's
a little head scratcher to me. I get why they did it. I think Ruiz is a better probably all-around catcher. You could use him more. He's a better hitter.
Well, we know that the Dodgers have been trying. The Dodgers have been trying to get Kershaw to work more with Yasmani Grandal. I mean, that's been their plan all along. But Ellis caught 11 of Kershaw's 17 starts this year, 21-33 last year. It is odd that you would, and we'll talk to Jonah about this. He, as a matter of fact, he had AJ Ellis on his podcast, last week, and we'll talk to him about this. It's odd that you would make that move now, and it makes me wonder if we are going to see Clayton Kershaw at all for the rest of this year.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You would think that Dodgers would go to Kershaw and go, hey, is this okay?
Yeah, and essentially, and you know what it is? It's like, I mean, it's like Josh Tolley and R.A. Dickey. If A.J. Ellis doesn't give you anything else, if you're the Dodgers, you're saying, look, we got a choice. We could have this guy on the team whose main attribute is that he catches this guy who wasn't going to pitch anymore this year, or we go out and get somebody who can help us, somebody who gives us a little more offensively. You know, my concern, I guess, if I was the Dodgers, is what does this do to your long-term relationship with Clayton Kershaw? Because at some point, Clayton Kershaw is going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
And at some point, I mean, you know what guys are like, especially guys who are dominant pitchers, especially guys who've developed that relationship with a personal catcher. They remember stuff like that.
Yeah. And you sent him to the Phillies, too.
And he sent him to the Phillies.
Which is
just the other thing, too.
Just take that.
It's like you're off the island. You're off the Major League island.
You go from the Dodgers to the Phillies.
We will have Kevin Barker's Bundesliga picks in the next segment. But first, we'll be joined by Jonah Carey. And we'll ask Jonah about this kind of puzzling trade. Maybe more puzzling and maybe more to it. Then first meets the eye. Jonah Carey's next. It's Baseball Central in the home of the Blue Jays. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Barker's Bundesliga picks just around the corner.
Woohoo!
I don't even know who the season starts today. Bayern Munich against Werder Bremen.
2-0. Oh, boy.
Unbelievable.
I think it's just, I'm definitely getting a pay raise for that.
For what?
Your picks that you make me do.
Well, you're not, you don't need a pay raise.
Sure I do.
You got the 6-year contract.
Seven.
7-year
contract. Plus that option.
Hazel may end one. I'm sorry. Let's bring in Jonah Carey. How you doing, Jonah? Jonah?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, all right. I just said, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
What, I'm nice to people. I people are surprised when I'm nice to them. Explain this A.J. Ellis thing to me. So the Dodgers have basically decided to piss off maybe the, you know, what, second, third best pitcher they've ever had. I understand the baseball thinking in some ways behind Carlos Ruiz for A.J. Ellis and all that. But, man, when you've got a guy who's a personal catcher for Clayton Kershaw, and you know, this whole thing has gone on all year with, you know, Yasmani Grandel and the Dodgers brain trust sort of trying to convince Clayton Kershaw that, at least when he was healthy, that he should at least consider working with this guy. How do you see this playing out? Because it's strange. I mean, to me, the first thing it says, Jonah, is Clayton Kershaw's not going to pitch this year.
I think that's possible. You know, I've thought that for a while, that his injury is very serious. The back injury, I've talked to people within the organization who haven't said flat out that that's the case, but it's certainly a possibility. I think you've got another issue here, which is a roster crunch. By virtue of all these guys getting hurt and being on the DL, they've set an all-time record in baseball for 27 different players on a disabled list. Mm-hmm. They have this weird situation. So as guys come back, they have to figure out what's up with the 40-man roster. Had they not traded A.J. Ellis, they'd be at 41 already, so they'd have to get rid of somebody. And, you know, they could probably do it. That's not a big cut. But, you know, Andre Ethier is on rehab, and Trace Thompson might come back, and Alex Wood is throwing, and Kershaw. So you would get to a point where one of two things would happen. Either you're getting rid of A.J. Ellis now, or you're having to make a hard decision later because, you know, is he one of the most valuable members of the 40-man roster at this point in his career? Probably not. Now, I get the chemistry thing, but I think that that becomes an issue where it was just going to be a numbers crunch regardless. You know, the fact that they've acquired all these players, young players, contingency plan players, guys with pretty good arms, it was going to force a tough situation one way or the other. That's basically the look at it. And furthermore, I would say that, you know, this is A.J. Ellis is under contract for one more month. He's a free agent at the end of this season. So,
sure.
Yeah, you know, he's a big guy in the clubhouse, not only for Kershaw and everybody else, but if you really love A.J. Ellis, and like, on a personal level, I like the guy. I just had him on my podcast. People should listen. It was heartbreaking. He talked about how great it is to be a lifelong Dodger. He's been there in the organization for 13 years. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, if they like him a lot, go ahead and get him back, you know, in October or November. I don't see it as a major problem.
Yeah, Joni, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You know, everybody around here obviously loves the Blue Jays. In your eyes, tell me who wins the American League East and why.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that. How would I know the answer to that question? I would wager on it, obviously. I wouldn't be talking on the radio.
Educated guess on who it is, because all three of the teams that are in the race have issues.
So the Orioles seem like a least likely team of the three for two reasons. Number one is, even though everybody plays their own division in September, the Orioles have a particularly tough schedule. Their out-of-division rivals are tougher. They actually have the toughest schedule of the three teams remaining, so that creates a bad situation for them. And Chris Tillman's hurt, and that's a big issue. You know, Chris Tillman might only be out for 2 or 3 weeks. Guess what? There's only 5 weeks left in the regular season. Mm-hmm. He's missing half of the rest of the regular season or more. That's a problem, especially for a team with a thin rotation. It's an all-star starter who gives you 7 innings almost every time. So I'd put them as the third candidate. The Red Sox and the Jays, I'll just handicap it in terms of what needs to happen and what doesn't need to happen. For the Red Sox, you know, starting pitching has been a big issue for them this year. Quietly, it's been quite a bit better this year. David Price had a bad start. Last 20 starts, 3.12 ERA. Very good. 3.12 is not Cy Young, but very good. Drew Pomeranz started terribly. Last 5 starts with the Red Sox, ERA just over 2. Very good. Rodriguez, the young left-hander, he's been injured. I wouldn't say that he's perfect, but he's had his moments. That's been better. They've got Porcello. They've got right back. That's actually a pretty decent starting rotation. But the problem is that the bullpen isn't necessarily all that reliable. Even after acquiring Kimbrel and Ziegler and all these other guys, they can't necessarily be relied upon. And so what's happening is our old friend John Farrell is managing very weirdly, where he gets the seventh inning of every game, and it's a big freaking problem because he doesn't know what to do. Should he push his starter further? Well, when you push starters further, even if they're good starters, third or fourth time through the order, there's a penalty for every starter in the majors. It doesn't matter if you're a Cy Young guy or not. It just gets more difficult to get guys out. If he goes to his relievers, well, they often blow it too. And two games in a row was just on Wednesday and Thursday. That's exactly what happened against Tampa Bay. Starters were doing pretty well. Farrell pushed them. They blew the game late in the game. So that's not great. He's got to figure that out. That's sort of the issue with them. With the Blue Jays, I just think it's a bad stretch, to be honest with you. I just think they kind of laid an egg against the Angels. If I look at them, they are the most complete team in the division. I've talked about it before with you guys. I love the depth additions. Getting Upton, you know, gives them options, allows them to Bautista, DH, and all that stuff. Getting Grilly, which was a little bit earlier, granted, but that gave you a third reliable relief pitcher to go with Biagini and Osuna. You know, you get Gary Feldman. They're just these depth moves that have helped. A little bit. Feldman obviously hasn't pitched well, but at least he's on the roster. So I think that's all to the good. One thing that I've said, and Jeff and I agree on this, is I would love to see Liriano in the bullpen. But of course, the problem there is that if Marco Estrada is going to get lit up, or if R.A. Dickey's not going to pitch well, or Sanchez is going to be babied, then they can't do that. But I think that there's an optimal roster here where Sanchez comes back from his A-ball hiatus. Hopefully Estrada's healthy. They put Liriano in the pen and make him the number one left-hander, and they roll with what they got. And I think if they do that, the hitting comes around, Bautista starts to hit again, and they become the best team in the division.
Yeah, I think one of the things you pointed out, too, is something I felt about this team, is I think that of the three teams in the American League East, the Jays are probably best positioned to address whatever the problem is internally. You know, it's a matter of they got the pieces, now the pieces have to work. At least that's the way I look at it.
Sure, and I mean, you know, let's take yesterday's game. Very frustrating game. Why did they lose? Because they didn't hit with runners in scoring position. Is this the least clutch team in the history of sport? Of course not. They just had a crappy game. And, you know, if you can't hit with runners in scoring position for a couple of games, that is the best possible problem that you can have, because that just corrects itself by virtue of regression.
That's true.
Yeah, it'll just get better. So I'm not really worried about anything, to be honest.
You know, as long as you're getting men on base, if it does correct itself by regression, that's a good thing if you keep getting the men on base. Our friend Matt Moore coming within and out of a no-hitter for the Giants against the Dodgers last night. I know you did, obviously you did the book, the extra 2% on Tampa Bay. Matt Moore's kind of been, I wouldn't say he's been the forgotten guy out of that whole crop of pitchers. Obviously there have been some injuries. But, you know, Jonah, you know those guys pretty well. You know that organization pretty well. What is Matt Moore about, and where would he rank in that kind of list of, you know, Rays, that bumper crop of prospects they kept bringing up?
Matt Moore is about one of the most advantageous contracts in all of baseball. The initial contract was only $14 million guaranteed over five seasons. They basically bought everything out leading up to free agency. 2016 is the last year of that. Then there are three team options there. Three they've got.
Wow.
And they're all cheap. It's $7 million, $9 million, and $10 million. By today's standards, for an effective left-hander, that is nothing for a guy who's 27 years old. So that's really good. I think first and foremost, that is what the Giants were acquiring. Because the fact of the matter is that Matt Moore, coming into last night's start, was terrible as a San Francisco Giant. Even if you look at the stats including that start, yeah, he's got 3.41 ERA. That's nice. 31 innings pitched, 20 walks. Dudes, 20 walks. He's had trouble. He has not quite been the guy that we saw, you know, at the beginning of his career. He was actually a top 10 guy in Cy Young voting. He was 17-4, 3.29 in 2013, and the advanced stats also reflected a pretty good season, too. And he just hasn't been that guy since, for injuries and effectiveness and consistency, what have you. So the Giants are basically looking at it and saying it was worth a flyer for a guy who's young and on a good contract. And the fact of the matter is that Matt King was their number five. They didn't even have a number four, really. So he's better than almost nothing. I mean, he's going to give them something, but they don't know what they're going to get. He is a variable in that race. You know, if he pitches like this, obviously it gives the Giants a big boost because they've been horrible, horrible going back to the All-Star break. They have the worst record in the National League since the All-Star break. They've lost twice as many games as they've won over that span. So they need more to pitch well. They need lots of stuff. They need Hunter Pence to come around. He hasn't really done much since coming off the disabled list. No Panic has had an injury-marred season. They need to get it going right now because, you know, they've fallen behind the Dodgers despite having a much healthier team than LA has, and it's disconcerting. So if Moore's going to go out and pitch like this, yeah, sure, that could swing the race, absolutely.
Jonah, we're going to let you run. Good to talk to you as always, my friend. You be well.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Jonah Carey of SI.com, CBSSports.com. He's also host of the Jonah Carey podcast. He had AJ Ellis. That was a good podcast. AJ Ellis, a much beloved guy. I forgot that he's a 13-year Dodger. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for helping us enjoy Philadelphia. hey, you know what time it is? Ho-ho!
Jeden Samstagnachmittag, ja, da ist was los. Immer wieder ist die Spannung riesengroß.
It is Kevin Barker's Bundesliga Picks on Baseball Central. All right, the Bundesliga starts their season today. And Sportsnet's got five matches. Bayern Munich against Werder Bremen today. Borussia Mönchengladbach against Bayer Leverkusen tomorrow. Borussia Dortmund against Mainz at 2:30 p.m. That's on a tape delay. Sunday, Hertha Berlin against Sport Club Freiburg. And TSG Hoffenheim against Red Bull Leipzig. That is on Sunday. So, Mr. Barker.
Oh, I'm picking that team.
Here we go. What, Red Bull Leipzig?
Oh, that's 100%.
See,
that's...
and you know, they're a hated team in Germany because they like they got these, they spent a lot of money. They're kind of a nouveau reach team. They're kind of a, Johnny come lately. So we'll start with that match. You've got Hoffenheim against RB Red Bull Leipzig. You're going Red Bull. What's the score going to be? Please pick at least one draw.
2-1.
For who?
What was the name? Red Bull what?
Leipzig.
Leipzig. Yeah. That.
Okay.
2-1.
2-1. Okay.
I hate you. I really do.
Hertha Berlin against Sport Club Freiburg.
Hertha Berlin.
Hertha. What? Hertha.
H-E-R-T-H-A.
Or as they'd say where you're from, Hertha Berlin. Hertha Berlin.
You know what's funny is nobody ever stops until I'm doing this.
Sixero, and he's carrying greasy food. All right.
Hertha Berlin.
Against Freiburg. 1-0. 1-0? You used nil. Nicely Woo-hoo. Done. All right. Borussia Dortmund against Mainz.
Mainz. 3-1.
That's got no chance of happening.
I just like
that. Might be the worst pick ever. Borussia Mönchengladbach against Bayer Leverkusen.
Say the first one.
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Borussia Mönchengladbach. Led back 2-0.
2-0, all right. And then the first one, today's match, Bayern Munich against Werder Bremen. Now, be careful here. Be careful. Werder Bremen could be, there are people out there who think that they
could be. Who's picking this? You or me?
You pick it.
Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
3-0. Just because you told me whatever you were telling me.
Okay, so there you go. So Barker's Bundesliga picks.
And I picked the worst pick ever.
Travis is going to send it out. Today's match, he's got Bayern Munich beating Werder Bremen 3-0.
That's a winner.
He's got Borussia Mönchengladbach beating Bayer Leverkusen 2-0. He's got Mainz beating Borussia Dortmund 3-1, which is just a horrible pick.
So I'm definitely going to win that since you said it was terrible.
And Sunday, he's got Hertha Berlin beating Sport Club Freiburg.
That's a fact.
1-0. And he this is a pretty an interesting pick. Red Bull Leipzig, a 2-1 winner over TSG Hoffenheim. So there you go.
Man, you're welcome.
Well, thanks for that.
That's the hardest thing I've done all
day. We'll have a full weekend of footy. Saturday, we've got... four premiership matches.
Well, now I have my weekend planned.
We're going to go to Barker.
I don't have to do anything now.
Barker,
just turn the TV on.
Barker and I are going out to bar to get ready for the Bayern Munich match this afternoon. Woo-hoo. We're going to go drink some German beer, slip into our Lederhosen, maybe have a couple of Knackwurst, some Rallkuchen. That's good eating. For Jonah Carey and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. I'll be back doing primetime sports today. Enjoy the baseball. Have a great weekend, everybody.